You're listening to WWBC Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, 1510 AM, as well as W234BI, Coco, Rockledge, and W264AS, Rockledge, Melbourne, Palm Bay, and 100.7 FM.
Hello, space and treasure coast. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and friends right here in sunny Cocoa, Florida. We are heard on AM 1510, WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and all over the World Wide Web. Miss Ellen, what a great day today.
I know. I feel like we've had a show already before the show.
We have.
But 1510wwbc.com, you can hit that listen live button and get us on any one of your streaming devices. Of course, there we also archive the shows. You can choose by date on that on demand button. Every Monday here at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, we share it on all of our social media and our websites. Social media is all under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. And then, of course, Sita Begee's personal page. And our website is SitaMediaInc.com. And that's spelled SeetaMedia.com.
That's right.
Yes.
I'm glad you could spell it. I get tongue-tied sometimes. So for our listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends for the first time today, Ellen and myself, we are dressed like Elf and Santa Claus, Mrs.
Right.
Claus.
That's right.
So we sit here on Mondays from 1 to 2, and we have a marvelous time, darling. We have a fantastic time. It's kind of like the station's studio has become a living room for Ellen and myself, and of course, Allie when she's here. And yes. Ellen, before we start the show today, I just wanted to say, thank you for being the best co-host a girl could ever ask for 15 years.
And you're the best friend and the best host and the best for community radio in this town. I've met so many people through you, and we have gotten such an education and just a wild ride, right? Over the last 15 years of meeting so many cool people all over the United States, and it's all because of you and that social media of yours.
Yeah, well, you know, like sometimes you meet people and you feel like this might be a connection, right? This might be a fit. And I remember when I first met you at ABWA, just like I met Liz at ABWA.
I know.
And I never thought that the good Lord would put us into direction where, you know, I ran for office, you supported me in managing that. And then we started the show, you supported me in that. I support you and the band.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes that we need to tell people while they're alive how special they are.
Yes.
And how wonderful they are. And you, Ellen O'Neill, are a friend with a capital F.
And you, but right back at you, your entire family.
I don't think a lot of people can have this kind of relationship with a friend. And so I really treasure you.
I treasure you.
Yes. So anyways.
And I think we look
make me
bad.
Teary-eyed.
I know. We look so good in our hats.
Yeah, we do.
Wait till you see the video. I know. Wait till you see the video.
Yeah. So on Mondays, for our listeners who are tuning in, Ellen O'Neill and myself, we sit here and we talk to people about kitchen table topics. Anything that someone wants to speak about, we give them a platform to speak about writing a book, selling a book, opening a business, running for office, saving the whales, the environment, Surf Rider Foundation, whatever it is. If you feel like you could add to our universe, our world, leaving the world a better place than we found it when we came in, we give you that option. And we do it in a very responsible manner because we understand that freedom of speech comes with a responsibility. And today is no different. Ellen, God sends the most wonderful people my way. And our friend, Shelley Page, is the director of I can't even say this word, you know how I
Experiential.
Learning.
How you like that? I almost said experimental.
Well, yes, sometimes it could be that.
Experiential, right. Learning yes. at Southern Illinois University, Simmons Law School in Carbondale, Illinois. I could say that. Yes. She graduated from Howard University and Texas Tech Law School. She has been a criminal prosecutor and a law professor for at least 20 years, specialized in so many things. She's written a textbook on human trafficking, which you know our show, so many shows about that, and has taught internationally on the subject since 2005. But today, our good friend Shelley Taylor Page, whom I absolutely adore, I have to meet her in person one day, she's going to speak to us about the continuation of her caregiving for her mom, who has dementia, and we've seen her mom in the videos, and we've fallen in love with her.
Yep.
So then our second segment is with our friend Elizabeth. She's an ABWA sister, and your last name, Eskilson. What is going on today?
Eskilson,
yeah. She's a co-owner of Cosmic Coatings 321 LLC, and she's also an author. She wrote a book called A Squirrel's Guide, and boy, she's an active Rotarian. She's a 12-year-old son, and she recently graduated with her MBA. So we'll talk to Liz on the second segment, whom I absolutely love as well. But Shelley, you've got the floor. Thank you for taking the time to call in today. Give us an update. Tell our listeners a little bit about yourself again. I'm sure there's more to add. And you keep getting skinnier and skinnier. We want to know your secret.
Sweet.
You look great. So, you look fabulous.
So thank you so much. So I am one of five kids. I'm next to the last, raised by a mom and dad who were two school teachers. My mom was like a class away from getting her PhD in English. My dad has his master's in math. So we were raised in a home where education was really stressed. And to see, I would not be a lawyer. Were not for my parents. And my mom was diagnosed in 2006 with dementia. And I must say her dementia is, the official diagnosis is dementia due to early onset dementia due to alcoholism. So my mom drank a lot of alcohol and this pushed the dementia earlier than it probably would have happened. So she is from a family of 11 kids. Of the 11 kids, five have dementia.
Girl, wouldn't know it by looking at mom.
Yes. Well, you know, and sometimes even talking to her, you wouldn't know it until you talk to her for maybe a little longer than 3 or 4 minutes because you'll see she's repeating it. But of the five that have dementia, four have died. And we think one other brother living in California is in the early stages of dementia. So because I know dementia runs strong in my mom's family, I don't drink alcohol. And honestly, I think that's one of the things that helps me stay the size I am. Alcohol really is a poison. That's why we get headaches. That's why we throw up. That's why we don't generally feel well when we drink alcohol because it's poisoning our system. And I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. Alcohol was big in my house growing up, but I can tell you that it caused my mom to get dementia way earlier than she probably would have. But probably the thing that's made taking care of my mom with dementia so hard is we are from Houston. And so two of us don't live in Houston, three do. Of the three that live there, my oldest sister is handicapped, so it really leaves two that can take care of my mom. Of the two, neither household is good for my mom. The one household has a ton of people living in the house. My brother has bed bugs. The house is really not sanitary. So my mom was getting bed bug bites at the brother's house, and she was just not being well taken care of. Her hair was falling out. She was just sitting in the house all day long. Okay, well, then the other sister. That sister, the only other option, was in a very volatile relationship. Cops were being called. They were cussing each other out. Very violent household. So I went to Houston to get my mom summer of 22, thinking it was going to be, oh, you're just going to take care of mom just for a couple of months. It turned 2 months, turned into 2 years. Yes. And I'm not gonna lie, taking care of somebody with dementia, if you don't know what to do, it is hard. But I thank God here in Southern Illinois, it's actually the name of the city where my mom goes to an adult daycare. It's called Active Day, Marion, Illinois. And I drop her off in the morning between 8 and 9, and she can stay as long as 4:30, 5 o'clock. So it gives me an opportunity to work. And look, I've been so blessed. I actually enrolled in the EDD program the summer she got here. And I'm graduating in 2 weeks.
Congratulations.
With my doctor of education.
Oh, my God. You're like the gift that keeps on giving, because the world, I mean, and, you know, you taught internationally as well. So it's not just that you're helping here in the United States, but all over the world, people are going to benefit from your education and what you've done, you know, for humanity.
Praise
I think
God.
it's amazing. But, you know, when I see mom.
Let's 1 second. To get through a thesis and be taking care of somebody and doing all the things that you're doing.
Thank God.
The people that are like that, I know, that have done their thesis for their doctorate, that don't have the amount of pressure that you have, called me crying at 2 o'clock in the morning. So God bless you, and wonderful
accomplishment. And sometimes her mom packs up all her stuff and puts it on the bed.
Yes.
And Shelly has to go up there and unpack everything.
It's absolutely
those videos,
unbelievable.
I guess you have been busy, because you have not been posting as many videos as before.
Yes. Well, let me tell you why. So in April, well, probably last Thanksgiving, I told my siblings, Mom had 5 kids.
Right.
Her caregiving should not fall to 1 kid. So I think we need to all keep her 3 months. So the 2 in Houston, the 1 in California, and me. That gives us 3 times 4, 12 months. So in May 1, I flew her to California. And I stayed there 3 days, but I left her with that brother in California. Because he is the kind of person who, if you don't make him take care of her, he won't. So she stayed in California for a month and a half. That's all he could do. And then he flew her to Houston. She's been in Houston since the middle of June. And I'm not going to even lie, that is when the bulk of my dissertation was done. I just hammered it down this summer, and I worked like a crazy person. I also, as a law professor, have access to law students who need to do pro bono work. So I got my students to do research for me, and they got pro bono credit.
How wonderful. Really,
there's going to be a swirl leadership book that we're going to be talking about here in just a minute. That's perfect leadership.
So Shelly, tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, when did you notice the dementia with mom? Because I know, like, I'm a long-term care nurse, right? And sometimes I find people forget stuff, and it's like, oh, that's normal. As you age, you forget stuff. You misplace things. You forget names of people. But I think for your mom, you guys noticed it, and somebody had that aha moment when they said, this is not normal.
Yes, it was actually my dad. We didn't know if it was she's drunk, she's inebriated, or it's dementia. We really didn't know. But one day, she started hallucinating, and she was standing at the window of our house, and she's screaming, look, those guys are out there breaking in the truck. And my dad is standing there like there's nobody there. So my dad had her put into a hospital. That is how we got the official diagnosis. Everybody is going to be different. So for listeners wondering, it's not just forgetting things. It's not just misplacing keys. It is a whole picture. My mom actually does not forget names. She knows the names of us. She got diagnosed in 6. We're now coming up on 20 years of this diagnosis. She does not forget our names. She has forgotten my oldest brother's daughter, that was even her granddaughter. So I think it really is picking up on what is the norm for your loved one, for your friend, for the person you care about. And what are you seeing now? Not just jumping the gun, but there are actually tests that doctors will do to diagnose a person with dementia. So rather than just me giving, this is what my mom did, this is what you can look for, it really does vary from person to person. One thing I will say, you gotta have a lot of patience. You gotta be okay with repeating answers 20 times in an hour. And as frustrating as it is for you to repeat, today is Monday, December 2nd, imagine what it must be like for that person.
You have to meet them where they're at, right? Because as a nurse, yes. I can tell you, I had one patient with dementia, and she took about, I'm not going to lie, maybe 15 pills a day. And every day she wants me to repeat all 15 of what they're
yes.
for. And I said to myself one day, I just can't do this every morning. I have
yes.
22 patients. But
yes,
you're right.
Yes,
you
yes.
have to have patience of a saint.
But here's one of my experiences.
Yes.
I play music, and I've been to many assisted living facilities and memory care centers that people have been nonverbal. And when I come in and I start singing their favorite songs, all of a sudden they know every word to every song. So a few of the nurses, specifically at West Melbourne, that was the one that I remember the most recently, that they were like, you know, if the singing helps, maybe I can, you know, turn some of those things, like what you said, Sita, about singing the medicine or
well,
whatever.
Well, I'll tell you what, they
yeah.
all remember one song, Sweet Caroline.
They certainly do. I know.
You sing,
so awesome.
You sing that Sweet Caroline, and they all tap their feet.
And they
sing.
All light. And,
but,
when the saints go marching in, that was the other one. That was a big
yeah,
one.
So
yeah.
Shelley.
And so, again, I think it's about finding what works for that person.
Right, right. And I think,
you know.
And it's all about the surroundings, too, and the environment and the caregivers. Now, being a caregiver for someone with dementia, you have to be very careful about your own mental health,
oh,
your
yes.
own physical health. How
yes.
did you cope with this? Because, you know, oftentimes caregivers let themselves go, and then they need a caregiver themselves.
Yes, yes. So we live in a pretty large house. Our house is probably, it's almost 7,000 square feet. So I have a craft room that is downstairs and on the lower level, and this is going to sound horrible. I locked my mom in her room. She has a master suite with a bathroom. She's got a TV. I keep it heated for her. She likes it warm. I make sure she has something to drink and something to snack on, and I lock that door, and I go downstairs, and I cry, and I pray, and I do my crafts. And I get enough energy and strength and motivation to go back up, and I'm good. And that's really what my thing was. I would go down to my craft room, and then sometimes I would bring her downstairs because I learned to sew from my mom. I would bring her down to the craft room, and I would give her a photo album. She would look at the same photo album for 4 hours. I mean, sometimes she wouldn't even turn off of one or two pages. That's how bad her dementia is, where she's just looking at the same picture, making the same comment. But I like to do crafts, and that was my thing. I also make sure that I go to the gym. So I take my mom to the gym, and this is how I would get her out of the car, y'all, because some days she would not want to get out of the car. And I would tell her, Mom, I am being inducted as a judge today, because she knows I'm a lawyer. And what else? My mom is super proud of me being a lawyer. So I would say, Mom, in this building, they're going to be inaugurating me as a district judge. So come on in. Everybody else is already inside and waiting. By the time we get to the door out of the car, she doesn't remember what I said. But it's enough to get her out of the car and excited. And now we're in the gym on the track. She has no memory of what I just told her.
Yeah, well,
so you find
that's survival. That's not that's sanity. That's survival.
Yes.
Well, you
yes.
know what? With patients with dementia, you have to be able to interact with them and meet them
yes.
at their level. You have to know what works. Because a
yes.
lot of times I find, like, with you know, I've been a long-term care nurse for over 37 years, and I find
wow.
if you start talking about their childhood and you say, hey, it might be snowing soon, and if they're from up north, then those memories of being with
yeah.
their siblings on a, you know, on making a snowman, or sometimes they
yes.
always talk
yes.
about a swing. They would swing up north. And so the memory, you know, the long-term memory.
Is pretty good.
Yes, but the short-term memory, like I tell people all the time, they forget their husband and children, but they remember their siblings.
Yes, very, very.
And it's heartbreaking.
And it's,
now, that's
yes.
heartbreaking for a lot of families that they have,
yeah.
they're forgotten. So how did you
yes.
include the rest of the family? Because just including the family and what's going on a day-to-day basis with a demented patient, that is exhausting to keep everybody
it
updated.
Is. It is. And at first I was doing Facebook, but believe it or not, my siblings did not like me posting on Facebook. They're the kind of people who are embarrassed. And so I actually blocked them on Facebook. But I would send text messages. Some of them would respond. The brother in California did. The sisters that's handicapped did. The other two did not. And I'm talking, I'm sending medical updates. Mom is losing her hearing. Here's what the doctor said. They just were not responding. So I just started writing to the two that did respond, because for my mental health, I cannot deal with my siblings who just didn't want to do anything. So remember I told you she's in Houston? We are leaving tonight at midnight to head to Houston to go and pick her up, because I know I've seen pictures of my mom, very few. She's losing her hair. She's losing even more weight. She's not in a facility where she's being challenged during the daytime. She's just sitting at my sister's house doing nothing during the day. So I know it's my turn to go back and pick her up. So I don't know how long she's going to be with me again, but the active day adult daycare that she goes to, they're ready to start her back up next week.
Yeah,
so.
And you know, you the daycare that you've got her at, the staff,
they
just love her, and they're part of her. I mean, she dresses up to go there. She gets there, and they give her hugs, and I think that's a perfect fit for you, since
really
you're still teaching law and you're still, you know, doing your stuff, but. You know, one of the things about dementia, too, is a lot of people hear about dementia and they confuse it with Alzheimer's disease, right? But you said that your mom was drinking. Now, where did she drink most of the time? Was it in social settings, or was she a closet drinker?
She was a closet drinker, yes, at home. She would do it at home. And we would find empty bottles of gin and vodka throughout the house. She had been a drinker, I would say, since maybe when I was in high school. And I was in high school 82 to 86. And it just progressively got worse and worse and worse. My mom lost an eye as a little girl in an accident with her brother. And so she grew up without her right eye. That always affected her self-esteem. She never felt like she was pretty. And, you know, looking back, Sita, I think she really should have gotten therapy. I think we all need therapy, but I think my mom desperately needed somebody to talk to. But she grew up in segregated Louisiana. My mom was born on a plantation. She was born to a midwife. My mom didn't even have a birth certificate for the first 2 weeks of her life. So they guessed at her date of birth. And so she went through a lot of trauma as a Black woman growing up in segregated Louisiana. And I think it impacted her growing up. And as an adult, she didn't feel pretty. And I think a lot of times she turned to alcohol to, you know, assuage herself through the trouble and the trauma that she didn't deal with as a child.
Yeah.
Wow. So I just want to tell our listeners, we are talking to Shelley Page. She's the Director of Experiential Learning at Southern Illinois University, Simmons Law School in Carbondale, Illinois. And she graduated from Howard University and Texas Tech Law School. And now she's just a saint taking care of her family and her mom with all of the other things that you have going on. It's just amazing. And then you've written a textbook as well, right? On top of all of these things?
Yes, on a textbook on human trafficking. And so I go across the world training and talking and teaching and researching on human trafficking. And I got to say, though, even this was inspired by my mom, me getting into the EDD program. So a doctor told me a couple of things you can do to stave off dementia. Learn something new every day. That's what made me get into the EDD program, was to keep my brain stimulated. He also said, get at least 7 hours of sleep.
Yeah,
every
I remember
night.
You posted that on Facebook that they had told you that. And you know what? You're accurate. I have been reading a lot of medical stuff lately, and everything points to diet, exercise, and positivity.
Yes.
I mean, it's like every day I wake up is a vacation anyways. I feel like the earth is my vacation spot, right? But one of the things with dementia, too, what I notice, and I have to oftentimes tell a lot of our staff and people that have parents and loved ones with dementia, is you have to avoid agitation, stress, and conflict. Because a lot of people try to fight with these demented people. You cannot do that. If the person is saying something, go with the flow, right?
Yes, 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 yes. That is so hard to learn. Because when my mom says, Shelly, I'm about to go home. We're 1,000 miles from Houston, where we live now. And my mom gets up to walk out of the door. That's where I have to say, Mom, you're in Illinois. Now, she's just sitting on the couch. I'll go with her. Okay, I tell you what, I'm going to go with you home in just a minute. Would you mind if I finish dinner first? Well, then that might buy me a little bit of time. But she doesn't remember that my dad died in 2008. I go with it. I talked to her on yesterday, and I said, Mom, I'm going to come pick you up so you can spend some days. Your dad does not want me to come where you are, Shelly. I'm going to take Dad, too. Dad already said he's going to come to our house. We live on a lake. He's going to fish off of the – I just go right with it. But you have to
– Yeah, you can't
argue.
You
can do that as long as it's not posing a threat to them. So if the person is saying, I'm going outside, I'm getting in the car, and I'm leaving, well, that might be where you can't go with them to that place.
Right. You know, you said earlier that you close the door when she's in her suite. And I think that's commendable. I think it's great you do that, because with dementia, from what I've seen working with patients for over 37 years, you have to recognize the dangerous situations and implement precautions. And what you did there is a precaution, because she does have impaired memory. She has cognitive decline. And I think it's great that you did that, because you know how that room is situated, and she will not get into any trouble in there because she does walk. It's not like going to fall,
right?
So I think it's good that you recognize that, because a lot of people don't have an area in their home where they could put a loved one and say, this is where I'm going to leave you. And I know, because you check on her periodically when she's up there.
Oh, I do. We have cameras in the room.
So I think it's good that you recognize that and you do it as well. And oftentimes you have to be proactive with demented patients, not reactive, because dementia is progressive.
That's right.
And you
want... It is something else we did. We took light bulbs out of the room at night. She only has a lamp that she doesn't know how to cut on and off. Otherwise, my mother will be up all night long because of the light. We don't give her a purse, and we don't give her a hat. Something about the purse and a hat, she's got superpowers. Her room is right at the front door. If I didn't secure the door, man, my mom would walk out in the snow, in the cold.
Yeah, and the men, we had a guy that every night he wants his keys, because he wants to go in his car and he wants to get out. He want to get out of Dodge. He doesn't want to stay there.
Yes.
You know, but one of the things...
I know we're running out of time, but sundowner, that's a real thing. When the sun starts to go down, the dementia gets worse.
Yes. Now, Shelly, did you have to have your home evaluated when mom moved in? Because a lot of times when people have dementia, their physicians will recommend, getting the house evaluated to see what aids you can get. And because there's a lot of resources available if you know who to call. So you had to have it evaluated as well?
I did. And the lady is actually coming this Thursday again to look at. They don't just look at the house. They look at bank statements. They look at a few documents to see what program she qualifies for. And we did qualify for a lady to come and clean and take her to appointments. I just don't need that. I just needed the adult daycare. Everything else I can clean up. I can get my mom to the doctor. And my mom is not very friendly with people she doesn't know, so that you may be caring for a person who loves everybody, just doesn't remember anything. That's not my mom. She will cuss you out in a minute.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is, I had a patient once that got it into her head that one of the CNAs, the certified nursing assistants, had stolen her husband. That girl had nothing to do with this woman. And the woman, every time the lady went into her room to give her a bed bath, she says, there she is. She's the one that stole
my husband.
And I'm like, she did not steal your husband. But you can't argue. We had to switch the team. Because it triggered something about that girl, triggered this woman to think that the husband had an affair with this woman.
My mom never had dementia, but it was the gin with my mom. She'd tell you what. It had nothing to do. It went back to that alcohol thing.
So before we go off air, Shell, managing a parent or loved one with dementia comes with many legal, financial, and medical matters to navigate. How did you get a head start in all of that? Because in addition to teaching law and being a professor and everything, you have to now sit down with your siblings and figure out, you know, what's going to happen when mom passes. Are we going to do hospice, DNR? Yeah. Who's going to pay? And you know, with siblings, everybody loves you until they have to give some money.
That's right.
Oftentimes, everybody is your best friend until you say, hey, we got to pay, you know, this medication costs $600. We need to divide it by five people.
Yes, yes. Thank God my mom and dad being school teachers, my mom gets a good chunk of money from my dad and her being a teacher that goes into her account every month. And I actually have a power of attorney, a medical and a durable. So I am in control of all of her finances and all medical decisions. I didn't really get too much flack from my siblings doing this, especially because I found that two of them were stealing from my mom.
So once Shelly, I swear we could do a whole show.
We could do a show.
We could do a show, Jessica, but you and the siblings.
But I would suggest that people get those medical documents done before a diagnosis of dementia comes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So now, any advice you can give to caregivers? Because not only, I mean, you're making beautiful dresses too. I need to get one of those dresses one of these days.
So
you're sewing. Yeah. Is it George? Right, George is his name.
Yeah.
Your husband. He's fishing.
James.
He's fishing in the backyard. And then you have to contend with all these neighbors that wants to know, what is this lady doing with a 7,000 square feet home in their neighborhood?
Yes. Let me tell you the advice I would give to caregivers. Every single law school in your city has a clinic, the law school, and it's nothing to do with medical. Contact that clinic. They will help you do a power of attorney for free. They will probably act like, oh, we only do it for the elderly. They'll do it for anybody. So contact your local law school, ask for the clinic, and they will help you do a power of attorney. You can also sometimes get a trust done, but I would contact a wills, trust, and estate attorney to get these documents done. Sita, I think for everybody needs to have a POA done. You need to have a living will, a living trust. You need to have a medical power of attorney done. If something happens to you when you leave work today and you have a car accident, who do you want in control of pulling the plug or not? You know, so we should all have these medical documents done, these legal documents done before some diagnosis comes.
I took it one step further, Shell. I went ahead and I made my cremation arrangements too.
Wonderful.
Yeah, girl, I did it all. I'm like, when I croak, I don't want no party, no celebration. Celebrate me when I'm alive.
Me too.
I won't be attending, so I don't care if anybody comes. Just throw me in
good
that
advice.
Cremation place and scatter me someplace. I'm good to go.
Good advice.
But you know, you wrote a beautiful Bible verse on your Facebook page the other day from Hebrews 10:37, and it was so sweet. I read it, and I thought about it. Even though I'm Hindu, I do know a little bit about the Bible, and it says, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Trust God, hold fast to his word. He is faithful. And that's you in a nutshell. You, all your life, you have trusted God to be your guiding light and help with mom and everything you've done in your life. And I think it's wonderful, the person that your parents made you to be, and you're giving it to us, the world.
You're so sweet. I got to say, there's this quote that says, Krishna has much bigger plans than we have for ourselves. And really, this was not my plan. So I really am grateful for the time that I have to spend with my mom. Even though it's difficult, I'm grateful. And
right.
I really appreciate
and before
the
you
work
go off
you
air,
do.
Tell us, is your book still on Amazon about human trafficking?
It is. It's actually through Carolina Academic Press. It's titled Human Trafficking, Cheryl Page. And, you know what, I really appreciate you guys just spreading awareness about human trafficking and about caregiving and all of the wonderful work that you guys do educating the public. Thank you so much.
Well, we appreciate you being part of it. That's for sure. Folks, we're going to take a quick break here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends. Listen to our sponsors, and we'll be right back right after these messages with Liz.
Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture is a family-owned furniture dealer featuring the best and most affordable brands. They offer all servicing for free. The delivery, setup, and home, removal of old furniture, and warranty. Work with a reputable and experienced local business as they strive for excellence with their customers. Scotty's been in the mattress and furniture business for 32 years. You can shop online, call, or stop into the showroom to place an order. They are conveniently located inside the Merritt Square Mall and service all of Brevard County in Central Florida. Super savings sale happening now. That's Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture, 321-459-2473. Visit them on the web at Cloud 9, that's cloud number 9, furniture.com. Again, 321-459-2473 for Cloud 9 Mattress and Furniture.
Welcome to MedFast Urgent Care. We are Brevard County's largest urgent care network. MedFast is now open at 7:30 a.m. every day. That's right, 7:30 a.m. every day. We will get you in and out so you can get back to your day. When you are sick or injured, MedFast is here for you 7 days a week. Think fast, think MedFast. With 18 locations, there's a MedFast near you. Call 321-MEDFAST.
Located in Titusville, Florida, Dixie Crossroads has been serving great-tasting seafood, char-grilled steaks, prime rib, chicken, fresh salads, and their famous corn fritters for over 31 years. The menu features the very best local shrimp and fish from Port Canaveral and ranges from low-cost sandwiches and baskets to high-end seafood combos. Visit this Florida favorite at 1475 Garden Street in Titusville. That's Dixie Crossroads, 321-268-5000. 321-268-5000, or visit them on the web at dixiecrossroads.com. Jotkoff Financial Group.
There's something special about the place we call home. It's the place we live our lives, spend time with family and friends, and make our own. At St. Francis Reflections Hospice, we consider it a privilege to care for you wherever your home may be. We put our hands, hearts, and skills into providing high-quality hospice care in your home. To learn more about how we reflect life, love, and compassion, visit www.reflectionslsc.org.
Welcome back, dear listeners. This is Sita Begee on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends right here in sunny, cool Cocoa, Florida. What a wonderful segment we just had with attorney, prosecutor, international speaker.
We love her.
Author, Shelley Page.
Yes, we love her. And she's been on the show a few times.
And to think I met her through CNN.
I know, that's so cool.
I actually met her through CNN.
The fact that we're dressed up like we are, Sita, I got to tell you, like, our fans can't see us right now, but I just feel in a better mood just because I think I'm going to wear this every day.
Yeah. So we are heard on AM 1510 WWBC, FM 94.7, 99.9, 100.7, and online everywhere. I'm trying to speed this up so I can get Liz on air.
1510wwbc.com. You can hit that listen live button, get us on any one of your streaming devices. We're archived there. Under Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, and then, of course, on our website, SitaMediaInc.com.
Right. So our second segment for listeners who are tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends today, my friend, a lady that I met at the American Businesswomen's Association, and I just, you know, how your heart just tells you that this is a very special person. And I remember when I met Liz, and I was attending a fashion show in West Palm Beach. And I immediately texted her and I said, do you want to go to a fashion show? And I don't know if we ended up going or not, but we hit it off.
We did go.
Yeah, we did. Elizabeth Elkinson.
The removable sleeves.
That's right.
The removable sleeves?
Yes. Elizabeth Elkinson is here and she is the co-owner with her handsome, gorgeous, brilliant husband of Cosmic Coatings 321 LLC. Everybody should have a husband who is so supportive. You guys are a great couple.
He's great.
They're certified project management professionals, and she's also the author of A Squirrel's Guide to effective leadership. And wait till you hear what this Rotarian of 12 years of experience tells you about what she learned from just watching the behaviors of squirrels. And so she's written the book. They've got a business. Thank God, with the help of all of us and her friends, we spread the word that people do like their jobs when they paint their homes or whatever they need to get painted. So we'll let Liz talk a little bit about being the co-owner of Cosmic Coatings 321 LLC and her book. Go ahead.
Awesome. Well, it does really all go back to ABWA. I didn't even have my business yet, the very first meeting. And that was 3 years ago. So we're 3 years in, going into our fourth year, and it's just been elevating every year. It's been better and better and better, and the connections that we've made in the community and how that's led to other things. Meeting you has been astronomical. I have a book because I met you. I've received multiple scholarships going to school because of CETA. Just being an amazing community member and knowing so many different people and being a part of different organizations. You're all over the place, but it's admirable. And it's taught me too that when you spread yourself out like that and you get to know lots of people, you never know what can happen. You never know who you're going to meet and what you can do. So we love being painters, like you said. I can't imagine myself doing anything else. I'm pretty sure that I'm always going to have this business and then hand it down to my son, who's 12 years old, and it's just going to be one of those.
Yeah, I remember distinctly when I met you and I said, how old is your boy? And you said, almost nine. So we've known each other since then. I remember for some reason so it stuck to me. But I think one of the issues that people have today with opening a business or with young people is that they don't listen.
Mm-hmm.
But you listen and you learn and you take what you get from ABWA and all of us older, wiser, bolder people and you put it into action.
That's true.
And it shows that ABWA was great for you and great for us too, because when you, the young people show up, then we learn from you as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I've watched you grown over the past few years, and not only should you write a book, but I think you should have a TED Talk as well.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
I think
Okay, so Cape Canaveral has their TED Talks in February, and I put in my speaking spot to talk about squirrel leadership, and I'm not sure if they're going to take that on, but it would just be awesome.
Let us know when we vote. I know people that do TED Talks. I might be able to, you know, put a couple good words
for her,
in.
Yeah,
yeah.
String for her.
Yeah.
So
we got to buy her book is what we got to do. Everybody out there, buy her book. She's going to be a national phenomenon.
That's right. And so tell us about the business and what made you all start this business.
So my husband hit that threshold where you got way too good and you were just fired multiple times because you're going too fast. None of the project management lines up anymore.
He has a college degree and all that. I remember he told me what school he went to.
Yeah, so we both go to Eastern Florida State College. Bachelor's of Business Management, the both of us. And we were doing that at the same time we opened the business, which is kind of strange for a lot of people. They kind of like look at me weird, like you're going to school at the same time you own a business. It's so I could fire my tax accountant and get better at all the things that drive the business and take away all of those third parties, fourth parties, and just make it our own and be like that operator that doesn't depend on so many other people to make it happen on a daily basis. So going to school helped me do the project management, helped me do all of the secretarial, and again, helped me do the taxes, which was, for me, the hardest part, all of the accounting classes. Just graduated with the bachelor's degree from Eastern Florida, and Dallas has two more semesters left, so in 1 year he'll be graduated too. So at college, we were a part of the Sigma Beta Delta Business Honor Society, so that helped us network at school. We brought in students from there to ABWA, and we also created a bridge connection from our college to the local Chamber of Commerce, because we're already business owners in the chamber, but we're hearing all of these older, bolder, more experienced people saying, well, where's all the young people? We need to see more involvement, and how the average age of all of these different organizations are getting higher and higher every year. So I think that it's important to bridge that connection between young people and the older generation.
Yeah, we complain
and,
about
like you
that
said,
all
listen.
The time.
Because, really listening. Yeah.
A lot of us complain about that.
Well, and a lot
that.
Of the businesses, you know, people are saying all the time, oh, this business closed or that business closed and they're blaming it on the economy. It's not the economy in a lot of cases.
It's
succession plan. They don't have a good succession plan of how the business is going to survive after they've reached a point that they don't want to do the work anymore necessarily.
That's true.
And one of the things in the MBA program is very like a stronghold about, okay, create the business, yes, but what's going
to
happen in 30 years or in 40 years when
you
either your
vision,
body doesn't
right?
want to do it or
well,
that
she's
you need
got
to,
vision.
Absolutely.
And
your 12-year-old son is going to be like
seeing all of it.
Magic.
Yeah.
And what I like about you and Dallas is you all friendly with the environment.
Yes.
You with veterans. So talk to our listeners on Viewpoint with Sita and Fresliz a little bit about some of the discounts and the you guys offer for people who sign up to have their house painted with you.
Absolutely. So the minute we catch wind that you're military or you've served in any way, automatic 10% off any of your painting contracts. When we start talking about the environment, it's really more so the connection between how a lot of painters wash out their equipment. Usually it happens in the residential grassy areas, oftentimes twice a day because you're going on lunch break, right? And you can't just leave your brushes out in the sun. They dry up, they go bad, and then all of a sudden you have to buy new equipment. So you're having to wash your equipment out, then go to lunch, come back, get it dirty again. Then at the end of the day, so it's like a second time.
And it's water, and it's paint,
right,
and
yeah.
it's chemicals going mm-hmm. into people's lawns and grass. We know.
So oftentimes, and we were painters for 10 years before we started up our own business, so a lot of the companies are operating in Brevard County. We're aware of how they operate, and there's never really, to my knowledge, been a business that I can point to that had a really good controlled method for that. Like, we're going to stay in this one spot on this lawn, and it's going to be away from the rose bush, and you're all going to do it right here. And there's ways of protecting your equipment during lunch to where you don't have to wash out, but I've consistently seen people do it multiple times a day. So Dallas and I have taken up... we wash out at our place. So even if we are changing colors and it requires us to leave your property, go home, wash out, and come back, we're going to do it. We don't care the time, the cost. We want to preserve your lawn. We want to preserve your rose bushes. We want to make sure that...
And it's environmentally conscious.
Yes, exactly.
Which is the main thing here, too, you know? But mm-hmm. so, you know, when people look at you, they wouldn't think painting. But I've seen your photographs with... you know, all the harnesses on and everything. Mm-hmm. And you actually climb up on these ladders and
things. Oh, yes. Up to 3 stories sometimes. Yeah, scaffolding. We've hung from roofs and the exterior condos. Like, it gets really dangerous. You really have to
Can
know
you
your OSHA. And
Danny's even
safety.
Shaking his head. And so I think in order to do a job like that where you could climb up on 3 stories high and put the tape and paint and it has to be precise, you have to trust your mm-hmm. co-worker, which happens to be your husband.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because we don't have a crew. That's one thing about Cosmic Coatings. It's just Dallas and I going out and knocking out
all these
jobs.
That'll be costly, too.
Mm-hmm. It is cost. But not only that, but it's really hard to find an employable painter that has the qualifications that we have. And one of them is that you can't smoke. And even if it's like lunch break and you are on lunch break and you're smoking your cigarette and coming back, we don't care because you smell like it and you're coming into the client's house and they can smell it. We know you smoked. It's just one of the qualifications that we don't smoke cigarettes.
I like
we
it.
Would really, really like it if our crew also didn't smoke cigarettes. And we've not been able to hire in the trades because of that reason. Like a lot of them do. I mean, it's stressful. A lot of people love their cigarettes. I'm not the type of person to be like, you can't do that. So I just simply will move on and find someone who doesn't. I have not found that person yet. So... it's just Dallas and me, and we love doing it. And Dallas is mostly the person that goes out and does the painting. Like, I am the overseer. I make sure that everything's tight. Nothing is getting in his way. He's got the sprayer suit on. He's going and knocking it out. And he's very, very detailed.
What a great partnership, right?
So. Yeah.
But you know what I like about you, too, is you're committed to community service.
Yes.
You're building such a meaningful legacy, not just for yourself and your son, but you demonstrating to other young people that, hey, if you have a vision to lead, if you have an idea and you want to do something, go for it.
Absolutely.
No matter what it is, give mm-hmm. it a chance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Take your talents, gifts, and abilities and run with it.
Absolutely.
You've done that.
Thank you. Yep.
So in addition to owning the business, all of a sudden you came over to ABWA one day and you were introduced And now they're saying you wrote a book about leadership and squirrels. And everybody was like, what? What are we talking about?
It's totally left field.
Yeah. And then you come to the radio station here, and Ellen here is also a squirrel lover. And
well, wait till my band. I'm telling you, I like cannot wait until I tell the band about who I met. And everybody's getting this leadership squirrel book for Christmas. Everybody's
so
getting
it. Share with us your unique leadership strategies using the metaphor of squirrels to inspire readers and to lead.
Thank you. Yeah, so a lot of people look at squirrels and they see this tiny little background character, prey, something that can easily just get picked up by a larger bird. Once you've actually been around squirrels, once you understand them, they are some of the most ferocious, life-giving creatures you will ever see. They are akin to being on a personal level, such as a dog or a cat, like how people connect to their pets. I feel that connection with almost every single squirrel that I come across, whether it's one that I've helped to support or it's one that I just come across on my daily walks. I feel like I'm literally just mother to all squirrels because of how much I've just connected with them. And it's all breeds. They're international. I love how many different types of squirrels there are, which really goes in line with, like, people talk about diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I think squirrels are such a perfect example of that. It's like no matter where you go in the world, except for Antarctica and Hawaii, who has the mongoose, not the squirrel. So I just have, like, so many random facts about squirrels in my head over the last 3 years because I've been so personally involved with them.
They're adaptable, and they're very creative little furry animals.
They're amazing. So
why did it get such
resilient.
A bad rap?
Because, again, people, they don't notice them, I don't think, unless you are kind of a slow liver and you really live every day and you kind of, like, take the moment to sip your coffee in the morning and you're that type of person to hang out with the ducks. You understand them and
so
you start to connect with them.
You've literally sat on the outdoors and watched the squirrel climb up the tree, meet his little friends, very territorial, right? And you've watched them. They are very creative. The way they do their everyday stuff.
Very resilient.
Yeah.
Yep.
But and I love what you said about, because I always see them hiding things, you know, because when I take walks with the dog, unfortunately, the squirrels love my dog. So when we walk along, the squirrels all kind of come out. But nonetheless, the squirrels will be hiding something, and my dog Stevie will go over and try and dig it up. And I'm like, no, they put that there. But you say that they lose them all the time, and they just go, and then it just grows a tree.
It just grows a tree, right? So,
so
it's like
the beauty of forgetfulness.
Exactly. It's like no matter what they do, they cannot do wrong. Like,
yeah, but you know, there's a myth out there that squirrels have rabies.
Okay, so
now and that I
would
that
like,
I think is why people are
I would like
well,
talk
they're
about
destructive.
That. Yeah,
they're,
I would like talk
well,
about,
they're afraid to get bit by him because then you have to go see a physician, right, to get a shot or something.
So never in history have squirrels contracted rabies and bit a human and given humans rabies. There's never ever been a case of it. What they do get is the Lyme disease. But when they get bit and they contract the Lyme disease, they're actually more apt to go inside of their tree, curl up into a ball, and dehydrate to death. It's really sad. So when you get the Lyme disease and it's really sick, it's not coming out and trying to interact with humans, you're probably never going to come across one that has the Lyme disease. But there are cases of humans getting the Lyme disease from the squirrels because you're going up to this super lethargic, like, oh my God, you're so cute, and then, meh, you get bit.
Yeah.
You don't go up to a squirrel and pet it in the first place. And,
but you could get Lyme, and just for the education, you get Lyme disease for walking through the forest.
Oh, yeah.
Because deers.
You get it from your own dog.
Deers have the tick that carry the Lyme disease, and the deers somehow are not, you know, they don't get sick from it or whatever. So, I mean, so let's not blame the squirrels.
Right.
Right, absolutely.
So, squirrels, so what you're saying, Liz, is that squirrels have some very positive traits.
Absolutely.
And so tell our listeners here on Viewpoint with Sita and Friends, I mean, people hear about bunnies, they hear about rabbits, to hear about squirrels, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing, bunny rabbits. And but there's certain special people that actually love these bunny rabbits, rabbits running around the yard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And squirrels. So what are some of the positive traits that you've seen that you have taken that and put it into the book and say, this is actually leadership qualities?
Mm-hmm. Well, the first one is communication, and that's both verbal and body language. So a squirrel is very loud. It's very much going to tell you get out of my space. And it's doing it both with words in squirrel voice and with their body, the tail flicking, the little feet going up and down, their body going back and forth. So I think the communication is, like, if you continue to ignore it, it's literally doom on you. Like, you cannot ignore the communication of a squirrel. So that's definitely applied to leadership. The ability to nurture their babies solitarily, I think, is amazing. And like, people, they say that that's kind of like a negative trait. Like, you're so solitary, like, you fight. But that's not true. Like, a lot of squirrels actually will nest in the same tree, multiple female squirrels, and the ones that they like to keep away are the males, because unfortunately it becomes competitive with food and the males will sneak into the nest and grab their own babies. It's a little sad in that aspect, but women squirrels will come together and they will nest in the same trees, and the way that they nurture their babies I think is really adorable. When resources are scarce, they come together, even though they're competitive when resources
it's
are good.
It's kind of like political squirrels. So, the woman just, in charge here. Right?
So it's actually really remarkable when you start learning about how...
And what happens when they age out? Do they just curl up and pass away? Or how? I mean, I haven't really thought about that.
So squirrels... typically in the wild can live between 2 to 5 years. That's their average lifespan. In captivity, they can live up to 20 or more years. So it really depends on their environment, which is another interesting aspect of, like, the biology of the squirrel. Like, and it's kind of like I know people who have pet birds that have lived for like 30 plus years. It kind of goes along with that. If you put the animal in a nurturing environment where it has all the food it needs, all the water it wants, and it's got the bed and no predators and literally nothing else, then that squirrel is going to thrive. It's going to get big.
It's like humans.
The size
no
of
wonder
it changes.
You said
yeah.
that you can correlate it with the humans, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then would you say that the squirrels, their behaviors are unique?
Absolutely.
When you think about other outside critters, right?
Absolutely.
So when you wrote the book, how did you come up with the name and the cover?
So I was actually taking a leadership honors class at the time at Eastern Florida State College. Her name was Rhonda Rye, and she was amazing. I told her about we had our first batch of squirrels, and they were just babies at the time. We were giving them the milk. They were successfully rehabilitated. She is also a squirrel lover and started telling me about all of the ways to attribute leadership to squirrel behavior, and it kind of got me thinking. And we got really close, and I told her about this book idea that I had of talking about leadership, but also squirrels and like how they kind of go together. And she encouraged it, and she gave me a couple of different ideas for the title. And the title should just be a very straightforward leadership and squirrel, so the squirrel's guide to effective leadership.
Right, right. You meshed it together very
exactly.
nicely. So where can we find this book?
So Squirrel's Guide to Effective Leadership can be found on Amazon.com. It's $12 for the physical copy, or you can buy for $10 the e-Kindle version.
And if somebody wanted to hire you in Dallas with Cosmic Coding, 321 LLC. Do you have a website for
yes.
that, or how can they contact you?
Yep, cosmiccodings321.com. Our Facebook, cosmiccodings321. Our phone number's on there. You can always email us, cosmic.codings321@gmail.com.
Right, and you know, Ellen, she's also with the National Association of Women in Construction.
Ooh,
This little girl, this little young woman.
I was connected with them when I was writing for United Rentals. I used to teach classes for United Rentals, and I learned about them. That's an awesome
example. Well, we will pass on all the information, and Ellen will take it from here.
Absolutely. We'll make sure that we have everything tagged, where to find your book. We'll tag ABWA. We'll tag everybody,
yes.
because I'm an elf today. So there's lots of love. Lots and lots of love.
Yeah,
thanks again, everyone.
You need your house painted.
That's right.
Call Liz at Cosmic. What's the phone number?
321-458-7667.
Yes. Thanks. Spend some of the tax money that's coming up soon and paint the house.
There you go. There you go. Thanks again, folks, for tuning in to Viewpoint with Sita and Friends here each and every Monday here in sunny Cocoa, Florida, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on 1510 WWBC. Listen in next week.